Lassiter.
Here.
Nemechek.
Here.
Conklin.
Here.
Moody.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Quorum present.
Okay, thank you. Moving on, we have the consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any item or items on the consent agenda be removed and placed as last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. The items on the consent agenda are A, approve the June 20th, 2023 special meeting minutes as presented, approve the June 27th, 2023 regular meeting minutes as presented, approve the resolution as presented from the baseball softball field of Boeing doing business as a waterfront field of dreams for their charitable gaming license and authorize the city clerk treasurer to execute necessary supporting materials. And authorize the city manager to cast the city's votes for the nominated six candidates to the Michigan Municipal League's Workers' Compensation Fund Board of Trustees. Anyone in the audience that would like any of those items moved to under new business? Commissioner, any questions? If not, I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Is there a second?
Support.
Any discussion? Jessica, roll call, please.
Moody.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Lassiter.
Aye.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. Moving on, we have citizens' comments. This will be any member of the audience who would like to address the city commission on a topic that's not on the agenda. If so, please go to the podium.
Thank you.
You have about 5 minutes. State your name and address, if you would, please.
Thank you, Mayor.
And Jessica will be keeping time.
Jessica, my name is Dan Wolschbacher, W-O-L-L-C-H-L-A-G-E-R. I live at 625 West Michigan Avenue. I'm here today, along with my neighbor George Elwanger, to discuss concerns with blight and junk that exist, along with the potential haste safety hazards at 514 West Michigan. I provided in the handout that each of you have the site of where that property is located. It's lot 2 and 3 on West Michigan, page 1. Many of us in the neighborhood have attempted for many years to address this issue with the city administration and police. And unfortunately, we've been told that there's really nothing we can do because of the existing ordinance and the way this property is situated with no easement setbacks from the road. So I've distributed the package of material that will give you a picture of the situation if you aren't familiar with the area, and a proposed solution, which is really just my gut feel that you might have to address the proposed ordinance because the feedback that we're getting is this property complies within the ordinance. I know this issue probably isn't something that you can take up tonight, but I was suggested by Scott McPherson to start here with the commission. In addition to the blight issue, we have a problem at the entrance to West Michigan and Boeing-Charlevoix Road. And if you turn to page 3-2 of the handout, the bottom left corner will show you the tall weeds that are growing at that intersection, and it makes it very difficult when you come out of that intersection with eastbound traffic coming on Boeing-Charlevoix Road, along with that where the bike trail comes right into West Michigan. Very hazardous. Bikers are at risk. Cars are at risk when you drive out into the road. So let me refer you to page 2 again and to go to the lower left-hand corner, which is where the neighbor at 514 would like to create a hazard, in our opinion, with trailers and even a basketball hoop that hangs over the road. This has been a serious problem, and I've talked to many neighbors that have expressed concerns that, you know, they have a hard time passing each other when trucks and other cars are coming down the road at them. If you also look at the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the trailers and the basketball hoops that exist, in addition to the fact that because it's on private property, the willow tree hangs halfway over the road and is coming down, and it blocks the view of even the trailers, which have cones that are sitting on them. I'd welcome any questions or direction that, you know, you can give us from the commission. But, you know, Boyne has been a great place, and I'm very proud to be part of this community. Unfortunately, when you have to deal with and invite friends over, and they start out by coming down your road and seeing this kind of a situation, it's not a good representation of what I think Boyne should be trying to present as a great community to live in. Thank you. If you have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer them at this time.
Any questions, Commissioner?
I guess maybe for Scott, is there any way the ordinance can be modified, I think, to address the concerns here?
Not that I can state right off hand. I'd probably want to have that discussion with the city attorney to see if there's some way to address that. But I can't see of how to address one particular situation without creating a lot of unintended consequences.
Okay. Mark, sure.
Dan, the bottom left picture.
Yes.
That has nothing to do with property that you're talking about. That was just an additional, also rain, right? That's not on the subject's property.
That bottom left trailer is on the subject's property and abuts the road, yes.
But the bottom left is where?
Oh, the bottom left, no, it's not on the property.
Yeah, yeah,
that is the corner section that exists that's owned by Doran Davis.
Well, plus part of it's going to be in the city right away. It should be trimmed up a little bit. But the other question for you, Mike, would be, you know, I before this even came to, you know, the question was asked, you know, of me a week before or whatever, I was driving down because I had to go down Glenwood to a customer's place, and you know, that willow is hanging quite low. I mean, can we send send the guys over and trim that tree back? Because if someone's driving a higher truck, and mine sits fairly low, it really is hanging over quite a bit of the road. That would be my question. And I get there's quite a few places in town that we've got to get better at cleaning up the corners. Where stuff is kind of sticking out when you're trying to turn and stuff like that. So I get that too. But I just think that we can address those two things. The blight aspect is going to be something that I was going to throw at Scott. So.
And again, one other major emphasis here is most city roads have this setback of, 66 feet from the center line? And here is a situation where, for whatever reason, when this property was taken to put Boyne Charlevoix Road in, there was no setback for the first three lots. It even became a problem, as this council probably recalls, when we put the city water in. We had to go down the left side of the road, go across the road, and then down the easement section. So why we don't have an easement here, there is eminent domain that you can always use to take it. There is a way to adjust the road. Obviously those are expensive, but why should us as neighbors have to have the risk because one of our neighbors wants to abut the road and make it a hazard and also unsightly? I didn't bring before the council ordinances because I'm a retired banker and I love small business and I want to promote small business, but he's operating a business out of the house. And you can get an ordinance, and I've looked at like Troy's, and I'm happy to share Troy, Michigan's ordinance on running a business out of their house. He would not comply.
Yeah, you have something?
Yeah.
Is there any language in the International Property Maintenance Code that the previous commission passed in 2020 that would address some of the blight issues?
Well, when you're talking about blight, there's junk and trash and that kind of thing, and then there's stuff. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people that have stuff. If you would talk to this individual, I'm sure he'd say, this is all my stuff, and this is things I use. So whether it's trash, you're going to go to court and fight that fight. The International Property Maintenance Code, when that was adopted, it was adopted with a policy directive for enforcement, with the priority to be on dilapidated houses that cause imminent health and safety, welfare issues. It wasn't really adopted to address these kinds of minor blight concerns.
And George, I'm Has anybody, I'm familiar with the gentleman that you're referring to here, but has anybody taken the time to talk to him and address their concerns and see if he can?
Absolutely. There has been several people. I have not personally, but I know people that have gone there and addressed the subject with him. And every time they address the subject with him, he does something further to retaliate and, like, put trailers hooked to the mailbox and do other things, like put the basketball court up and hang over the road. So yeah, we've tried to say, you know, let's be good neighbors and
right.
You know, have a nice property that's representative of Boyne.
Okay.
Yeah, just to reiterate what Dan said, his property line goes right to the cement is what the way I understand it. Therefore, he puts his trailers and his stuff right to the cement line. And he's legal, maybe, because it's his property. The trouble is, snow plows, I mean, the snow plows can't plow because you need that shoulder. There is no shoulder because he puts his stuff right there. So I can sympathize. We've had this issue before, and the person does not cooperate, as been stated. I would love to have a solution.
Chief? Yes, in response to Commissioner Laster and Commissioner Newhammer's question and statement, I went to the house and spoke to the individual and asked out of courtesy to the DPW, which I believe it was last winter, if he would just move the trailers off a foot so that the plows would have room. He was less than cordial to the request, and it didn't happen.
So, Scott, I have a question, Scott. Do we have the authority to make someone cut their grass, but we can't do anything about this?
Storing a trailer on your property is not against the ordinance.
So would the best route here be to send it to the Planning Commission to look for solutions to this problem, or are you saying there just isn't a solution from your perspective?
To write a specific ordinance to address one property owner, I don't think that's the best way to go. I think the bigger problem is the location of the road.
So, Scott, how, I don't understand, this is, you know, even on this plat, shows as a standard, right. 66 foot easement.
Well, the road is located to the north side of that right-of-way, so it's butts right up against that plat right-of-way. It's okay. Not in the middle.
The road's not down the middle of the 66 foot.
Okay. That was going to be my question. So.
Yeah, what would, so from your point right now, Scott, it doesn't sound like there's many solutions that are within the legal bounds for the city to take. What would be the process of eminent domain for safety concerns and concern to DPW and power?
I would refer that to the city council.
Okay.
The city attorney?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how do you think we should move forward with this? Might make this an agenda item for the next meeting and then get more material, possibly the city attorney here, and he could direct us in what options might be able to be created to solve this problem?
If that implies sending this material to the city attorney and have him review it, maybe have a discussion with Scott, and when he's ready to, you know, if he can do it for the next meeting or meeting after that, bring it back to the commission, I mean, that's fine. on sidewalks, there's one section, a different location, where literally the whole sidewalk is taken over by a bush. So anyone utilizing that sidewalk has to leave the sidewalk, go into the roadway, right away, go back on the sidewalk because of a bush. So
if anybody sees areas like that that need to be addressed, if they'd let Scott or myself know, we'd be glad to check into them. I mean, I try to identify things like that, or if I see high grasses or things like that from time to time, I'll let Scott know. He'll send letters out to the people to start the process.
Okay. Thanks for bringing that to our attention, Dan.
Yeah.
George, that is. Again, George, state your name and address.
George Elwaker, 627 West Michigan, and I'm with Dan here in support to with the neighbors and all the concerns. And all the people, West Michigan, Pinewood Beach, I probably have 25, maybe 30 people approach me because we live in the city, Dan and I. When are you people going to do something about the minor property? And there's people older than me trying to get around the materials that Frank consistently puts right on the edge, sometimes 4 inches in. I've seen this truck park overnight there. And about a month ago, I think the one that kind of really put the squeeze on things is when he had his trailer on one side and another tandem axle trailer on the other side, trailed, and they chained his trailer to his mailbox. By the way, the trailer did not have a license on it. And so it's just squeezing people, and like Dan says, we got a lot of people coming up here that summer vacationers, kids riding bicycles, and that's the path where the people come down the road, as you're well aware of, all bikers, and it's just squeezing and it's making it a very, very unsafe condition. And I don't want the city to get into a situation because somebody had to move over and they got into a wreck of some kind, and then they'll say, well, we had some obstruction on both sides of the road. So I guess we got two concerns, but I really would like to see something happen with moving that Amador, Maine. I know that wouldn't be a cheap situation, but if it gets to that, I think it'd probably be cheaper than having a lawsuit from somebody who said that we didn't maintain the roads properly. So I don't want it to be a vindictive thing. I just want it to be addressed in some manner. That's all I'm asking. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
With regards to Mr. Elwaker's comments.
Well, one other thing. If you think it's bad in the summer, you can ask our officers and the people trying to plow the snow. Because all of a sudden that lane, they just keep going out farther and farther and farther. And it makes it more difficult for people trying to get back out of the Michigan road. I have enough.
I've seen the situation that Mr. Elwinger mentioned, that there's vehicles parked on both sides of the road, one on 514's property and the other one's in the road right away on the south side of the road. And it does narrow it down and kind of throttles that. I mean, there's an easy solution for that portion of it. We could create a traffic control order and make that section of road no parking on that one side that the city controls on the south side, so that would alleviate at least half of the problem. It doesn't do anything with regards to on the property here, but if that is a concern, we could do, I mean, you're going to be considering later today another traffic control order. We could temporarily put it up basically between the other side of the street there and just try it out for 90 days and see how, if that helps at all. That is something we do have within our control. The commission wanted to explore.
I like that would be fine, Mike. But at some point, Don, I guess I'll talk to you later about this, Scott. So I don't want to delay the meeting. But at some point in time, the 66 feet has to end up somewhere. So if it starts at his spot, then the road right away is not where it is on the south side. So it shifted over. So that'd be an easy answer for no parking on that side, and or each end of the subject property. So there you go. There's your orange markers, preliminarily put for snow removal in the winter. So to Mr. Elminger's comment, that it doesn't keep shifting over. Now they got their sight line. You know, the plows know where they can go and where they should. And at that point in time, if he throws something in the road, then, you know, then we're going to be dealing with, you know, Kevin taking care of it. So, but I think we should look into doing that sooner rather than later and, you know, driving some gas pipe with orange tops on it or whatever. But, you know, there you go. There's the sight line. Make sure that it's put on the city's property, and if that's 2 inches inside the tarmac, then it is what it is.
Okay. So do you have clear enough direction, Scott and Mike?
I do. Four. Yes.
Great. Okay. Anyone else with citizens' comments on non-agenda item? Okay. Moving on then. We have correspondence. There are two items in the correspondence. One is Consumers Energy Public Notice and Charter Communications Upcoming Changes. Anything else to add to that, Jessica? Okay. Moving on to City Manager Report, Mike.
Items for you. Obviously, we just came off with two Point City signature events, the 4th of July and Point Thunder, which took place last week, bringing thousands, if not tens of thousands, of people to our community. Both events went pretty well with no major problems. Their teams will be holding recap meetings in the coming weeks to continue to improve their programs in the years ahead. I'd like to congratulate and thank all of those, whether they be volunteers, city personnel, or basically every department of the city, or our contractors like our cleaning crew that's here today, that put in lots of extra effort to make sure that those events go off as well as they do. The fire department tried something new during Point Thunder this year and held a very successful pancake breakfast fundraiser last Saturday morning, serving hundreds of hungry people. Unfortunately, during the event, one of the rear overhead doors, torsion springs, mounting pulled loose from the building as the door was being closed, damaging both the door and the building. No one was hurt, and we're working with our building architect and others to determine the proper repair to this door and to check out our other doors to try and avoid this from happening again. The two exterior restrooms on the east side of the pavilion are closed while repairs are being made to the sewer line east of the building that services them. The other three restrooms in the pavilion are fully operational, and we hope to have those two restrooms back in service prior to the July 20th food truck rally. We had a couple issues with the splash pad today, where it was shut down for a couple hours this morning while repairs were made to its main operating valve. It was stuck in the on position, keeping water running and not shutting down automatically as it's supposed to do. It was fixed and returned to service shortly thereafter. Then about around 3 o'clock this afternoon, we were advised that water gushing out at the feed to the splash pad. The PVC pipe that abuts or basically joins up with the backflow preventer broke at that location. So we're working to see about getting that fixed and hopefully we'll have it operational again tomorrow. The new shelter that's being constructed at Peninsula Beach Park by the Boyne City Rotary Club is waiting for their contractor to arrive with the necessary concrete forms to finish the foundation and move on from there. The Rotary's keeping us apprised as they're making their efforts to get those. It's taking them longer than they anticipate. Alice Traylor has been appointed to fill the recently vacated position in the Housing Commission that I reported on at the last meeting. She is a resident of the complex, and this position did require it to be a resident at the facilities. Our on-pavement remarking project is scheduled to begin on Sunday, and that work will be on the smaller items like crosswalks and parking lines. Centerline and edge markings are anticipated to begin, and we're currently doing it either be Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. All this painting work is weather permitting. The city's auditors will begin our annual audit the week of July 24th. anticipate that the that consideration of the open space improvement bid will come before the City Commission at our next meeting on July 25th. Park and Recreation Commission is having a meeting this Thursday of this week to consider the matter and make a recommendation to the Commission. We're working to post our Zoom broadcast directly to Facebook, like we currently have done for YouTube. We've been working through the processes on that, and ultimately that would replace the camera that Jim's been providing us for several months now. We're hoping that by using the Zoom and Al connection, that it would improve the public's ability to see and hear what's going on during our meetings over those formats. We hope to be able to transition to this by our September 12th City Commission meeting, if not sooner. So if you have any questions on these or other items, I'd be glad to try and address them.
Good, thank you, Mike. Commissioners, any questions for Mike?
Good. Just one on the fire department doors. So they're checking all the rest of the other remaining, what, nine springs or whatever, Mike?
Yes, we're going to check all of them. Make sure it just doesn't keep repeating itself.
And then I guess this will be the first time that I can say this, that, well, we're good that we still got some money left in the building fund, so we can replace the door.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Any other commissioners? Moving on. We have reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. In the agenda packets, there was the Economic Development Corporation regular meeting minutes of June 5th, the Local Development Finance Authority regular meeting minutes of June 5th, the Main Street Board regular meeting minutes of June 6th, the Parks and Rec Commission regular meeting minutes of June 8th, the Planning Commission regular meeting minutes of June 19th, and the Airport Advisory Board regular meeting minutes of June 22nd. Any questions on the minutes in our packets on all
those reports
or commissions? It's a very busy month for everybody. Moving on, we have old business. Item A is the City Manager Evaluation Update. And we have, which was included in the agenda packet, a public comment representing a summary of the City Manager's evaluation compiled by the Commission. And I would just like to read that. And if there's any questions afterwards, we can deal with that. The Boyne City City Commission recently completed its evaluation of City Manager Michael Kane for the period December 2021 through December 2022. Overall, the Commission rated Kane's performance as satisfactory, standard, with 3.13 points on a 5-point rating scale. Kane's evaluation was held in closed session as allowed under Michigan's Open Meeting Act. The City Commission evaluated the City Manager in six areas: Commission Relations, which was 2.97, Community Public Relations, which was 3.49, General Administrative Skills, which was 2.86, Business and Fiscal Management was 3.28, Special Projects, Commission and Boards was 3.21, and Professional and Personal Development was 3.3. Kane and the City Commission agreed to several goals for the coming year and will hold quarterly meetings to review progress. Those goals include city personnel, update employee handbook, update all city job descriptions, conduct formal annual evaluations for department heads, and assist department heads with evaluation of their employees. Community engagement, evaluate, analyze, review the City of Boyne City website with the goal of creating a more effective tool for communicating with the community. Evaluate, analyze, review the City of Boyne City's social media presence on all platforms and the city's biannual newsletter with the goal of making these tools more effective in communicating with our community. Planning and rolling report. Implement an effective method to report daily, weekly city business that would enhance the City Commission's ongoing knowledge of city happenings. Included would be a calendar of recurring monthly tasks to assist staff in preparing for events, including monthly action items. Kane has served as Boyne City City Manager for 20 years. His current salary is $119,327. And that is the end of the Commission's statement on the City Manager's evaluation. So I would open it up to the public if you have any comment or questions. Okay, Commissioners, is there anything you'd like to add?
Any on hold?
No, sir.
Okay, moving on. Old business, item B, high wire corridor ordinance, second reading. Consider the recommendation from City Manager Michael Kane to approve the proposed amendment to Chapter 54 of the Boyne City Code of Ordinances to enact Article 4, Section 54-82, 1 and 5, and create the requested high wire corridor. Mike?
As the City Commission will recall, earlier this year we received correspondence and a verbal presentation from Ben Van Dam of Van Dam's Custom Boat Works and the Boeing Boatyard on Division Street requesting support in their efforts to create a high wire corridor. It was presented that such a corridor would provide for improved and safer transport from their facilities on Division Street along a portion of Pleasant Street to their boat launch at the Harbridge Marina on Front Street. In the Commission's packet, and I can put it up here shortly, is a map showing the proposed road, and a draft ordinance has been prepared for the Commission's review, consideration, and possible second reading and adoption today. It is staff's understanding that the City Commission's desire to consider this matter further, based on the successful experiences that the Moran Ironworks had in creating a similar high wire corridor and supporting ordinances establishing the corridor through their county and Rogers City. We obtained copies of those ordinances, and our city attorney, Matt Frost, drafted the one that's before you for your continued consideration. Since only city streets are involved in this request, only one ordinance is needed. We don't have to get any approval from the state or county with regards to this. With regards to the process, the proposed high wire corridor ordinance was presented to the City Commission at its May 9th, 2023 meeting for the first reading. At that time, the initial draft ordinance was revised to increase the clearance that was proposed in the ordinance from 28 to 35 feet. That change is found at the end of Section 54-82, subsection 2. As required by the Boyne City Charter, ordinance amendments cannot be adopted until at least 1 month after meeting that it was introduced. We are now slightly more than 2 months past the first reading. Notices regarding today's ordinance consideration were mailed to properties abutting the proposed corridor, and our yellow public information signs have been placed along the corridor as well to bring it to people's attentions. At the City Commission meeting, based on the information received, the City Commission can adopt the ordinance, make minor amendments to it, postpone the matter, or deny it. The recommendation from myself is that, subject to any information that we receive tonight, that the Commission approve the proposed ordinance amendment to Chapter 54 of the Boyne City Code of Ordinances to enact Article 4, Section 54-82, subsections 1 through 5, and create the requested high wire corridor. Mr. Van Dam is back with us today, and I'd be glad to answer any questions the Commission might have on that, and I'll bring up
Ben, were you interested in addressing the commission?
Just to say thanks. Again, I appreciate everybody's continued engagement on this. I think I've shared everything in regards to the actual corridor plans previously, so happy to answer questions if anybody has one.
Which we do. We have questions because we live there. I commission.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's
okay. Mike, one question I had. Have you received public comment from
No, I have not received any. I would ask the city clerk treasurer if she's received any.
We've gotten a few phone calls, either from the yellow signs or the letters that were mailed out, but after explaining it to them, they were like, oh, that's fine.
I received one phone call from a resident that lived down the road that about the terminology was high traffic ordinance. Oh. material with the individual and you had no concerns.
If you'd like to address the
commission,
just state your name, address, and Jessica will be keeping time for the
Well, my name is Sean McLeod, and my husband and I both live at 808 East Division. My husband's name is Sean as well. We just received the letter July 3rd, or actually it was probably like the 5th after the 4th when I got it. So I've only seen one letter, or one yellow sign that was on Division, more towards where the water building is on Division. So this kind of came to a surprise to us. We just really don't know what it entails. I guess what we're more concerned about is that we live there, we pay our taxes, and we have our house right on Division. We have a quite large tree that kind of defines our property, and we've been there for 24 years. We've had some bad experiences with consumers and other companies tearing up our yard, driving in our septic, tearing down, you know, cutting trees down. I'm not prepared to have that happen again. We don't want to deal with that again. So I guess our questions right now are just, we don't understand what this entails for us, you know, since we live there. Mm-hmm. So that's our questions, really.
Great. Ben, would you like to?
I'm happy to, yeah.
Would you like to go to the podium?
Sorry.
Yeah. Should I go sit down?
Yeah.
I just said, okay. Okay.
So the purpose of the high wire corridor currently, as you guys see us going to and
yep.
from spring and fall, we have to have people riding on top of the boats right now and lifting lines as we're going through. So we are not planning on doing more traffic necessarily. We're not planning on more trips. We're hoping actually what it will mean is less trips. We're trying to move towards taller boats, but we're struggling with the height of these wires. So so currently the effort is simply to protect what we are already doing. So right now you may have seen that some of the Charter communication lines have gone underground. That was us paying Charter and AT&T to bore underground so that we can get our riders off the boats, so we're not having to try and lift these lines, which again, the boats just keep getting taller and I get nervous every time
I
go down the road. So far, I think at this point, all the Charter and AT&T stuff is finished. It's just got to get wrecked out of that area. So further down the Division, you can see the underground boring. They have to pull some wires. I think the first one is McCary's house there, is the first crossing there. Eventually, what we would like to also do is the power lines. We're going to have some challenges with that. But again, it will be a similar situation, and it won't necessarily, I don't believe, affect you because we're only looking at crossings. We're not looking at stuff going down the side. It's just the areas we have to lift lines. So that's our effort currently, and again, not trying to do more volume of trips necessarily. It's more to, again, you guys have seen it so many times,
it
stops traffic.
Yeah, we're not concerned about the traffic. Like, I get that. We see you guys, and I'm always like, oh my gosh, that guy's on top of that boat. We're just more, you know, we've just put so much into our property. We've put up with so much from so many other things that has nothing to do with you. But we just don't want to lose our tree. We don't want to lose our property. We don't want that tour back up again. So that was really more the concern than traffic.
Yeah.
But I get that you want to, you know, do that. So that's what, when we saw this, it just kind of gave us red flags of like the whole road getting tore up, our tree getting cut down. And that was a concern.
It's really to get our people off the off the top of those boats and less congestion and safer trips, so, and eventually taller boats also. So.
And Ben, your request for the ordinance is to protect your investments so
correct.
That it stays that way forever rather than you making this investment and then having it
undone, which is essentially what has happened to us. We've done a lot of this work before. It's a long story, but it eventually got undone and we didn't have recourse to it. So we're trying to, now that we're doing it again, we're trying to protect it this time. So, thank you.
No, that was clear. Thank you.
That was what we needed to know. Of course,
yeah.
All right. Anyone else in the audience? Okay, commissioners, we can move to the first market.
I was just going to say, because there isn't any crossings anywhere near you, Lois or where
no. It's the street that the McCarrys live across of. I think that's the, there's one crossing, one.
Lewis.
Lewis, is that Lewis? Okay, thank you. There's one crossing at Lewis, and then there's a big gap again, but that is quite a ways from your house.
Yeah. Yep. Marty, any other questions or comments?
No.
George?
And preemptively, I've seen some boring already through there. Some other people are already all complying with this beforehand?
No, we're paying to get all that work done, so that's separate from this ordinance, but Charter and AT&T are done boring, and I think have hooked everything up. I haven't had an update in a little while, but I think all they have to do is wreck it out of there, and the lines are dead at this point. So, but that's the work we're doing on our own that we're paying for. Then again, as Hugh mentioned, this ordinance is, the effort is to protect that work, so we have to pay for it again someday.
Gotcha. So.
I'm good. I'm going to support.
Human call support. So I had many questions that I've gone over in the past with Ben and throughout the conversations.
So then the cost then with the consumers that you're going to be dealing with?
Eventually for the power lines, yep.
Okay, and that's something where you were hoping to possibly get grants and have the city be the receiver and
that. Yes, that kind of thing. Yeah. In order of kind of urgency, the communication lines, of course, are the lowest. We're dealing with that just out of pocket right now. We're dealing with that ourselves. But yeah, when we get to the power lines, that we'll be coming back to the council to ask if there would be a willingness to help us apply for grants, because the amount of that is way more than we can afford.
Yeah. What is the timeline on that?
I would say roughly kind of 3 to 5 years. We're a little ways out of it.
Okay.
The more we look at it. Two to 5 years, somewhere in that. I know that's a big window, but it's nothing like, it's not going to be next year. I can't imagine it would be the year after that, so maybe 3 years.
And that's the actual work raising those lines?
It'll be a combination of boring as much underground as we possibly can, and then there's kind of a critical juncture where it becomes so expensive to bring things underground that it's not worth it. You're better to go above ground, according to consumers. So it will probably be a bit of a combination. There'll be the easy stuff will go underground, and then the more difficult stuff will get poles added and raised. And it does sound, I did get an update from consumers. We have an updated cost, and it sounds like there'll be four or five crossings that will still need to be, above ground crossings, and the estimate still holds in the $250,000 to $300,000 range. So it's a huge amount of money.
Okay, well, I fully support the request or the approval of the second reading, so with further discussion, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
I'm thinking, well, I was going to say, Sean, we're done with our 5 minutes.
This just all came about, like, seriously, yesterday. Like, I opened the mail, came down, got this documentation. I would have called you personally. We just have had so many other things happen because of where we live, and we have an easement with the county. They take advantage of that. So it was just a combination of a lot of stuff. And I looked at that and I thought, oh my gosh, here we go. We're going to have our trees don't get cut down. You know, we just want to make sure that the integrity of our property is respected and that we're not going to have to go through all that kind of stuff again. So it cleared up. So that's good.
All right, I'll make a motion to approve the proposed amendment to Chapter 54 of the Boyne City Code of Ordinances here in Act Article 6, Section 54.82.1.5, and create the requested highway corridor.
Is there a second?
Second.
It was Article 4. So it'll be Article 4. Just make the correction. Can we have a second? Yeah, Tom?
George.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please, Jessica.
Neathammer.
Aye.
Lassiter.
Aye.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Moody.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, moving on to new business. We have item A, traffic control order 138 Taylor Street, 15-mile-an-hour speed limit. Consider the recommendation from City Manager Michael Kane to confirm Traffic Control Order 138 establishing a 15-mile-an-hour speed limit on Taylor Street as presented. Mike?
Last fall, we put up a 15-mile-an-hour speed limit sign for Taylor Street, and we usually run the temporary traffic control orders for 90 days. Shortly thereafter, it snowed, and we don't plow that portion of Taylor Street that goes through Rotary Park during the winter months. So we decided to hold it over until the spring so people could get a good sense for it, and if they had any concerns on it, they would let us know. So this has gone more than the 90 days that standard temporary traffic control orders go. It now comes before the City Commission for you to determine whether you want to make it permanent or not, or extend the temporary traffic control order for another period of time, or just remove the speed limit signs that are in there. The portion, this is at the far west side of Rotary Park. The road actually goes through the center of what's basically the large parking area that runs from the north and south sections of that that part of the park. So we've not received any complaints regarding the 15-mile-an-hour speed limit that I'm aware of. And the reason it's a 15-mile-an-hour speed limit is because it is going through the park and there's a lot of pedestrian traffic that goes through that entire stretch. So we recommend that the City Commission confirm it.
Okay. Kevin, does it seem to be working from your point of view?
I have not spent much time up there to check on that. We're starting to get in the busy time for parks.
Yeah.
We'll try and get there as much as we can.
It does seem like a 15-mile-an-hour speed limit through a park is a good idea.
It is. That came about. One of the gentlemen, and forgive me, I do not remember his name. I had it sticky on my desk forever and threw it away. It lives right there, I believe, right on the corner. Called and talked to me about it, and seeing cars right through there. Then the legal speed of 25 is just too fast, especially when there's people in there.
Thank you, Kevin. Those commissioners had any other questions? Any comments or questions from the public? Any requests? All right, George, you want to start?
Kevin, have there been any complaints, I guess, from, you know, these were soccer moms, but you know, families, moms, dads, with kids in the park about people speeding through there?
Yeah, sporadically through the year, we'll get complaints on it.
Do you?
And now that I'm done with soccer, I don't spend as much time up there, but you'd see people go through there, and it's 25 is too fast.
Okay. Was there anything else, George?
No, sir.
Tom?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time up there. It's just hectic when that parking lot's full on both sides of the playing fields between softball and soccer, youth softball. It's crazy how busy that is. And it's gravel. As stated, it's not plowed in the winter, so it's closed off, but it is a busy, busy, busy road for a short, intense period of time, coming and going during the evenings for events. So it makes total sense. The lady that lives right there has, 4 or 5 years ago in the past, requested that we pave that. It wouldn't make any sense to pave it from that little stretch to go into a gravel parking lot. But at some point, you know, if it could all be paved. But that's not the issue. The issue is slowing it down makes total sense. And there are 2 or 3 homes right there, so that makes sense. And heavy, heavy use. For a short, intense period of time. So I'm in full support.
Yeah.
I'm in full support. I think 15 miles an hour through a park is what it should be. Just a clarification point, this will be making it permanent and not extending the temporary, correct?
Correct.
I'll be that man. I talked to Chief today about it, and I think that here's my issue. I think it's Pandora's box with a can of worms that, okay, so now we've done this. So how long before, you know, we have to have a meeting and put signs up behind the ideal area for those of you that don't know what that was, over by the other 2 little fields, and it's electric. And then we'll have to have one for Avalanche. and then we're going to have one for the big loop down here at Veterans Park. I did state it to Kevin, I go, at what point in time do we stop dumbing down society and just go, look, you know, have some common sense, and I realize that if common sense was common, then we wouldn't. I think it really opens up a can of worms. I guess if we're going to do this, I understand to your point, Mike, that, you know, we had the temporary one there. I spent a lot of time up there. Tom's right. It's more congested than, and you couldn't speed through there. The times that I've been up there with soccer and everything like that, you're more or less playing, you know, dodge cars than speeding. So I guess what I would like to see is, at a bare minimum, you park your brand new trailer up there and you clock that for a while. And then the other easy answer to it, which would solve everything, is, you know, sounds like we might have some extra telephone poles laying around once, you know, we go to a high wire, and you lay those right in the middle and go, all right, you come in from one side, you leave on that side. You come in from the other side, you leave on that side. And I think that could solve a lot of issue without adding more stuff for your officers to worry about. Going, okay, you know, we got to watch a park for speeders and stuff. I just think that, you know, we just always go to here and even talk to Kevin. You know, I mean, the reason we got the speed trailer was because of the people that say, oh, man, they're flying by my house, and then the speed trailer shows them. No, they're really doing 25. But when you're sitting there sipping your cocktail going, man, you know what, I'm watching them and they're flying by me. Well, at that point in time, it looks like they're flying by you. But, you know, they're really just doing the speed limit. So I would rather look to find other avenues than to go with adding another level of, you know, for our officers to have to look at and, you know, for this can of worms and Pandora's box just to be opened up and go, okay, well, now we need it here, now we need it here, now we need it here, now we need it here. So that's my recommendation, and I'll make it right now, is I would look to table this and at least, if nothing else, set the speed trailer up there and check if we got, you know, if we got fall sports coming up. We'll be busy up there again. And see what that would do, and or like I say, just split the parking lot, and you can't get through. That's real simple. You enter from one side, you leave on that side. So.
Okay. Anything else?
No, sir. Well, do you want me to make my motion?
Well, I support the recommendation that's presented for keeping it, making it permanent 15. And you raised good questions, and we can take the 15 mile an hour sign down and work on a longer range improvement plan for that whole parking area. Maybe close it off on one, whatever, but I think it's the simplest thing to do now is to just have it put a 15 mile an hour sign. Is that what you would do, Kevin, is put up a 15 mile an hour sign? Or
yeah, I mean, there they are. The signs have been up since fall.
Yeah. Okay.
So, all the more reason why they've been there, and I don't understand the urgency or the need. If it's not being attended to, then, you know, then let the complaints come in. If, you know,
yeah.
If it is, I mean, you got bigger issues down here on the loop here and in Veterans Park. But, so.
Tim, do you have something?
Yeah, how was the order created last June? Or why was the order created last June? Was there an issue with speeding? Was it
that
was the commission?
That was when the president called and had a conversation with me about it.
Okay.
And then, like Mike said, when it became fall, then we closed it off for winter time.
Right.
There was no reason to bring it back in front of me.
Okay. Was that your first time receiving that complaint last year?
I don't think that was the first time. It was the first time we had any conversation with it, though.
Okay.
Okay, well, does anyone want to make a motion in support of the recommendation?
I would like to make a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the consideration, or the recommendation. A motion to approve of the recommendation from city manager to confirm traffic control order 138 establishing a 15 mile per hour speed limit on Taylor Street as presented. been.
Is there a second? I'll second it, so we can have discussion. Jim, do you have?
Yeah. How would this change your, would this impact you differently, Kevin? Would it be a strain on the police department?
No, the only thing this would do would be we could enforce things a little bit better. Because as it is right now, if you're driving 25 through there, it is way too fast. Nothing you can do about it. Just like the two gentlemen that were down here before, when you're presented with something that isn't right and you can't do anything about it, in my world, that's wrong. This would be able to address the speeding issue in there. People are driving through there 20, 25 miles an hour. We have legal reason to stop them without a name. It's a 15, don't do this. He gives us an option to take care of things.
Do you feel it would be appropriate being posted at 15 or 25?
15.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Any other discussion?
Just one thing is minor. On the TCO on their agenda packet was dated this. At 6-6 or 23, is that just a miss?
Should have been 22.
22?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, I figured it is.
Yeah, good catch.
Just to state maybe what Kevin's saying is that this gives you a tool to enforce common sense.
Correct.
Marty used the word common sense. I think this gives you a tool. It's not going to give you an extra burden of man hours to sit there and enforce 25, but if someone is reckless, it gives you that tool.
Right.
That simple?
Yes.
Thank you.
If someone was reckless, they have that tool.
Okay, is there any other discussion? So we have the motion to make the 15-mile an hour speed limit permanent in Rotary Park. What's the name of the street? It's for Taylor Street. So Jessica, roll call please.
Lassiter.
Aye.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Moody.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. All right, moving on, we have good in the order. Commissioners, is there anything under good in the order that you want to present?
Two things. Good for first captain. And 4th of July parade, we're down by Killwinds. Your guys were up and down the street on their bikes. Just was a great thing to see. If I was not from here and I was thinking of buying a place here or I was a visitor, I would have been so impressed at the police presence, and especially John McLeod was super friendly, interacting, engaging with kids, and stopped talking to people, and smiling and friendly. Just really impressed by that, Kevin.
Thank you.
Yeah. And second issue, the bumper ordinance that we kind of kicked around here last year, I'd like to see that moving forward
for the ice.
We're going to be blinking right as we win it. It'd be nice to have that in place before we start.
Yeah, for sure.
Adding ice.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, George. Yeah. Anyone else?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I would just like to express my kudos to everyone from the city for the 4th of July weekend and the Point Thunder weekend. EPW guys, I've seen them running around early mornings, late at night. I mean, early mornings, grabbing trash. I came into the city hall for something. I had to grab something late on Friday. Becky was very tentative to helping someone with reserving or getting the patio, getting keys to the patio on that. So kudos to EPW and all the other staff members, Point City. Second thing, Point Thunder was great. I spent some time in the event on the water, on the shore, at the parks. There was one concerted issue that I was a witness to in regards to traffic flow at the boat launch. So I would like to address those concerns and issues with the appropriate point of contact, whether that be the Point Thunder Committee, the Main Street Committee. And then third, last, the rest of you commissioners have received an email from City Manager Mike in regards to the Shreveport County leadership. If you support that, I would be grateful. If you don't support it, then obviously I wouldn't pursue it. Just talking my piece about it, I feel there would be more. I try as a commissioner to try and stay involved in different things and scenarios. That's why I've always elected to go down the Michigan Municipal League to try and learn and self-educate myself in that aspect. That's why I participated within, you know, the community exchange process to learn from the other communities there. This would be the one, this I think I would benefit the most out of all other things that I've been involved with as a city commissioner. So that's why I have an interest in attending. But if it's too much of an ask, then obviously I'm not going to contest it. I would just obviously walk away from it and leave it on the floor. But
when is the deadline?
The deadline was June 30th. The application was put in. They are doing me a favor of holding that application. Their boarding committee is holding that for the conversations to continue in the city here.
First of all, I totally agree with a lot of good comments being said. George, well said. Did fellow commissioners get my response to Tim?
I got it.
Okay. So I'm in full support, Tim. Great program. So kudos for you to want to expand your opportunities of leadership. Fantastic. That's all.
All right. Well, under announcements, the next regular city commission meeting is scheduled for July 25th at 12 p.m.